And good morning, everybody. Thank you, Nathan. I'm glad you're with us. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast on 881. I'm Tom Hall, and it's time for the monthly Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. As always, joining us is the film critic from the Washington Post, Anne Hornaday. How are you doing, Anne?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
Good to see you. Of course, what would a movie mayhem be without the director of the Maryland Film Festival, the lovely and talented Jed Dietz? Good to see you.
Good morning.
So, Anne, you wrote a piece about a documentary film festival that takes place in D.C. and in Silver Spring, which just finished up this last Sunday, this last weekend. It's one of those film festivals that's kind of under the radar in a lot of ways. It's called AFI Docs, and it's an interesting collection, evidently, of documentary films because they're screened in the nation's capital, and much of it has to do with the United States government.
Well, this year it sure did. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily by design every year, but you know, the festival's about 12 years old now, and for the first decade, it was only located in Silver Spring, and it was very much a sort of creation of AFI up in Silver Spring at their beautiful Silver Theater and
it's
Cultural
the American
Center.
Film Institute.
Gorgeous, exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And it really did become quite a destination for, especially for nonfiction filmmakers who just loved it because it was so intimate and it made them feel supported, and they had a conference that went along with it that was really helpful to them in terms of networking. And then a couple of years, last year, AFI decided to move it down into downtown Washington in order to have better access to the policymakers and influencers, you know, in D.C. that could actually maybe help leverage some of the issues that were addressed in the films themselves. So that was kind of a rocky transition, and I think rightfully so, the loyal film goers in Silver Spring felt like they had gotten a little short shrift. But this year, they beefed up the programming up at the Silver, and they used all three theaters, and that was a much more robust film-going scene up there. And the, as you said, the films themselves this year were really strong, and so many of them did have to do with abuse of power, not always from the government, but often and from the government, and specifically the FBI, which ironically was just a couple of blocks away from the theaters and the venues where we were seeing the films. But a lot of really good stuff on tap.
And Jed, you and I have been talking for years about the rise of the documentary, and the rise continues. I mean, it hasn't. There's no apex here. I mean, it just keeps becoming a more and more important film form, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think totally, and very much because the world of mainstream journalism has shifted so dramatically and continues to as we speak. And the documentary nonfiction filmmakers are really stepping into a void. And it's not clear exactly where all that's heading yet, but thank goodness for all of us. You know?
Yeah.
And the technology has made it, you know, it's so much easier now.
Right.
So that I don't want to say anyone can do it, but I think people who are inspired and motivated to get after something don't really have that many impediments in their way anymore.
Yeah, it's not like you got a big crew and, you know, all this stuff.
Right.
You can shoot it on your
exactly.
iPhone. You
know,
a lot of folks do. One of the movies that played there, which is still at the AFI Silver in Silver Spring, is a movie about Led Zeppelin. It's called Led Zeppelin Played Here. It's a documentary by Jeff Krulik, who did one. Nathan Sterner did a story about his movie Heavy Metal Parking Lot, which took place in Baltimore.
We've done a bunch of his parking lot. He's done this whole series. He's just exuberant and wonderful guy.
Right. And it was not at AFI Docs, unfortunately, which is a really big disappointment. But it's at the AFI Silver for the next week. So I urge people to check it out. It's about this maybe urban legend or lore that Led Zeppelin actually played the Wheaton Youth Center in January 1969 on inauguration night when Richard Nixon was being inaugurated on January 20th, 1969. Led Zeppelin apparently played the Wheaton Youth Center. And so he explores this and he tries to get to the bottom of, did they play there, did they not? There are all these conflicting stories. Some people say they were there and they insist it happened. Some say it never could have happened. There's absolutely no documentary or physical evidence of this. But what he does in the course of exploring this fascinating question of whether it happened is excavate this moment in time when a lot of really big rock and roll bands would play youth centers and colleges and high school gyms as just part. It was sort of part of their filling in the blanks on their tours and stuff before they got to be megastars. So it's just this enchanting glimpse of a bygone time when that could actually happen. And Baltimore plays a role, too, because you know, the Laurel Pop Fest comes into it, Globe Posters comes into it. So it's just a really charming very funny and very absorbing little glimpse of
turns
America.
Out I was 14 years old and a guitar player in 1969. And
okay.
I have an eternal debt to Messrs. Page and Plant.
Because there you go.
Once I learned to play Stairway in Heaven.
Oh, it launched them, yes.
Many romantic encounters ensued.
So at the Nixon administration, were you playing guitar at Wheaton?
I was not at the Wheaton Youth Center. I can guarantee that. But another doc that you had at the Maryland Film Festival that has gotten a lot of great attention, I know you both are high on it. It's called Whitey, and it's about James Whitey Bulger, the guy who was on the lam for all those years and was just recently tried in Boston.
Yeah, Joe Berlinger is the filmmaker, and he made these Paradise Lost series of films, the three Paradise Lost films, and he has once again sort of gotten very close to a subject and delved into a subject that has been in the news and talked about, and nobody sort of has done this kind of a reveal about the thing, about the whole story. And for the first time, Whitey himself is interviewed. You don't see him because he's, of course, in jail, but he had never tied into any media at all. I mean, it's a real tribute to Berlinger's whole series of filmmaking that he gets close to people like this. But it also goes right to this abuse thing, because Whitey's whole pitch is, I was a tool of the FBI and the prosecutors, but they were a tool of me too. And you really, it's pretty convincing in the film that this symbiotic relationship, who was in control, not so clear. And this is it's a sort of startling thing to see this as people, these two teams were working together to each other's benefit and maybe not so much the city of Boston's benefit. Yeah.
Exactly. It's really stunning. I mean, it's just a breathtaking. And like Jed said, it makes a very convincing case for the fact that rather than being a quote-unquote top echelon informant, which is a program of the FBI that's full of all sorts of weird, very opaque machinations, that he was actually paying them. And as he says in the film, we're not saying, we're just paying. That was his motto in terms of like who had the reins there. And so what it lifts the veil on is all these corrupt officials who were being paid off or rewarded in other ways, not just money. In order to keep this relationship going. Yeah. And it's really sordid, and it's absolutely compelling.
Great filmmaking, sounds like. That's Anne Hornaday, the film critic for The Washington Post. Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival is here. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to the monthly Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem on 88.1 WYPR. And Anne, you wrote a piece in the Post a couple of weeks ago about women in movies and how it's a bit of a heyday these days.
Yeah.
I mean, there's there have been some really great roles. You mentioned Maleficent, The Fault in Our Stars, Twilight, Hunger Games, even going back to, Mamma Mia, Bridesmaids, The Help, The Heat. Obvious Child opens today in Baltimore. It's gotten a lot of play. We talked about it a little bit last month, but it's interesting. This is a movie that they're, very happily promoting as a rom-com about abortion. Jenny Slate is the lead actor, and she's a pretty smart woman, and it sounds like this is a pretty smart movie.
It's really an audacious movie. I mean, it's she is. She's a really kind of wacky, zany screen presence. And as you said, I mean, the filmmaker Gillian Robespierre and Jenny Slate set out to make a film it's kind of a rebuke to all of these films that we've seen in recent years, where somehow the filmmakers confect to have the heroine either not even consider having an abortion, or it's dealt with in a shameful way. I always look back to
Juno
into that really dingy, which was just such a misrepresentation of women's reproductive health. I mean, it was really, to me, just a slider, or even Knocked Up, where they couldn't even say the word, So this is just
Get happily married. I mean, the whole thing just pulls together, and it's wonderful
at the
end.
Yeah, it's all very cosmeticized. So I just think that now this film, I mean, the humor just tiptoes and then crosses the line of good taste, I will be honest with you. I mean, I was just stunned by some of the jokes.
In the first 3 minutes, I would say.
True. Right? But so even, I was even a little bit like discomfited, but I think that that just sort of speaks to what the filmmakers are trying to do here, which is just to confront us with our own taboo, like what we deem taboo and what we don't deem taboo.
But
it's fascinating.
To me, it's really not about abortion at all. It's about a woman who is completely imperfect, and everything Anne just said is correct. She's bawdy. She's inappropriate. She's brutally honest with herself and other people at moments where she maybe it would have been a little more adult not to be quite so brutally honest and all that stuff. But she's so smart, and she doesn't, well, there's a little whining in the movie, but she, there's very little, and her friends pull around her, and then she has to, and her mom, and but she has to sort it out, and it's like, this is life. Mm-hmm. This is growing up. And in a way, it's one of the strongest feminist movies I've ever seen in this very quiet, non-political way, but it's,
yeah,
it's really smart. She's delightful. Mm-hmm. I mean, despite the bawdiness and the shocking, and I think everybody will be at one point or another shocked in mm-hmm. the movie and sort of wincing. But you can't not like her and appreciate what she's going through, unlike those other movies we're talking about, which seem so easy that,
yeah,
you know, nobody's right. really confronting anything. And this is about...
Everything gets tied up with a bow. And, it's
and
a
not only
pain.
That, yeah. but I would say, too, that the relationship between her and the leading man is really refreshing.
I
mean,
agree.
It's just, it's again, it's this really progressive. I mean, the he's really the most sympathetic character in the film.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, the Supreme Court just had a ruling, it just came down this week,
yeah.
about, you know, limits to how close protesters can get
right.
in abortion clinics. So it's certainly something that's on people's
and,
minds.
And I would pitch also Jenny Slate, who was on Saturday Night Live, and she and her husband made this, I think when she wasn't working, they made this little thing called Marcel the Shell with Shoes.
A YouTube
and,
sensation.
Yeah, and it's
20 plus million views. So
yeah,
far.
Run yeah. to see it. It's yeah. really great.
I want to talk about another doc called Caucus. This is a documentary about the 2012 Iowa Presidential Political Caucus. It focuses on Rick Santorum, I guess a little bit on Michelle Bachmann and her husband as well, made by a guy named A.J. Schnack.
Yes.
This is supposed to be a terrific movie.
Oh, it's
as well.
Wonderful. Jed and I actually saw it together last year at AFI Docs
right.
at the National Portrait Gallery.
And it's on demand now.
It's yeah. on demand now. And even if you think it sounds like old news, watch it, because I think it's such an extraordinary exercise of a filmmaker having a very strong point of view, but not his attitude toward his subjects is so compassionate and so fair-minded without necessarily buying into their worldviews. And they do. They're funny, they're flawed, and they're kind of zany and silly, but you never feel like he's treating them with condescension or contempt. And especially Santorum. Santorum really does become the main protagonist of this film. And regardless of whether you agree with his political views, he really does come across as a very genuine and authentic guy. And,
well,
and it's just a wonderful portrait.
And with the bifurcation of American politics, people on the left tend to look at caricatures of
right.
these people, and they really don't get to know them.
Yeah, well, and you see some of the, I mean, you see where the caricatures come from in this movie. It's because they're goof, you know, it's this goofy thing. The thing you can't avoid, though, in this movie is how hard they work, and especially in Santorum's case, but even other people you may not agree with politically, like Michelle Bachmann, how hard they work to do this. And I was like the perfect forum because it is on the ground campaigning, and it is heartbreaking to and enriching to see how hard people work and want to engage with the public at the highest form of politics.
Or so, not in the case of Romney. I mean, you really do see him almost literally
or,
parachute in and sort of deign to you know, rub elbows with the hoi polloi. I mean, it's just such a revealing point. And some of these people will be back, so I dare say it's probably worth everybody's time to check it out.
I've never seen a political documentary like it, though. It's
no,
really
me neither.
Great.
Yeah, it's
great.
Really
I'm looking forward to this. I want to mention real quick before we go that at Artscape, which happens July 18th through 20th, the film festival will be at the Charles Theater with Shorts the whole weekend, opening Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday, every hour, you'll do them by sort of category. You'll have animated shorts, comedies, character studies, narratives, documentaries, etc. So check that out at Artscape.
And opening night's all about movement shorts, so it'll be really fun.
Looking forward to it. All right, well, thanks to you both. We will see you next month. Jed Dietz from the Maryland Film Festival and Anne Hornaday from The Washington Post. Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WIPR, in Baltimore. The program is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers and occasionally brings in those little inch-long hot dogs with the cute little hot dog rolls, and we love that part. You don't do that. Well, actually, I did make that up. We have production help from Brandon Block, Alexandra Kennedy, and Justina Latimer. Coffee is provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville on the web at zekescoffee.com. You can find us online at wipr.org/Maryland Morning. You can leave a comment about something you've heard or make a suggestion about an interview you think you should hear on our show. For Sheila Cast and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.